feel like I learned a real lesson about coping this morning from a really unexpected source. I was sitting by a lake watching numerous seagulls or gulls. I'm not sure if they're seagulls, but anyway, that's what they look like. But I sat and was watching. There was a huge flock of them that was stationed or kind of headquartered on a sandbar that was over to the right of me quite a ways. And I noticed that at various times there would be a small number, maybe 5 to 10 gulls, that would actually fly in front of me and actually go down and land on the water. I had never seen this before, and I was a little bit surprised by it. I never thought, you know, about, I guess I really had not been around seagulls a lot, and I didn't realize that I always, you know, kind of saw them swooping down to try to catch fish, you know, from, just, you know, poking their head in the water and flying up above and looking for fish. But I'd never seen this particular behavior, and it appeared to be really orderly. I have to wonder if this is some sort of ingrained behavior. And anyway, they would kind of, one by one, they would fly over a particular area of water and kind of land, and one in front of another, and they would be spaced out quite a ways in this apparently fairly straight line, going quite a distance. And it was almost like there was something systematic about it. But what was interesting is, and what really caught my attention, was that this is a particularly windy day. I looked up, and of course I was being blown around quite a bit by it, and noticed that the wind, you know, I looked at my phone, and the wind was gusting anywhere from 15 to 25 miles an hour. So there were some pretty choppy waves on the water, and I mean, it was buffeting me, so I've got to believe that it was doing the same thing to them. And I could see them struggling, and what is interesting is they would sit on top of the water kind of like ducks do, but then at some point the wind would gust to the point where they could no longer stay on top of the water in a stable way. And the waves would get high enough to the point that I would actually lose sight of some of them as the waves rolled towards me. And I think they probably get to a point where they just no longer can cope with, you know, staying on top of the water. And I would imagine that that is probably one of their fishing strategies, is to just kind of sit there and watch and wait for fish to come by. I don't know that for sure. Maybe that's just the way they rest. But either way, there's obviously some need for them to be able to sit on the water in some sort of fashion. And it became apparent that at different times when the wind really gusted up, that they would get to a point where they could no longer evidently feel comfortable doing that. And in order to continue to cope and stay where they were, they would literally start flapping their wings and just sort of hover upward. It almost looked like they were levitating, except that you could see their wings flapping. But it was very gentle, and what would happen is they would just sort of stay in place. It didn't look like they were really, I mean, they were flapping their wings really gently, but not necessarily moving forward like you think a bird would when they fly. And they're essentially just hovering over the water. And they all would do this, so there's kind of like a line of birds that are just gently flapping their wings and just lightly hovering over the water when it became too choppy. So it appeared they would try to stay in the water as much as they could. And I'd have to think that's because they're either getting rest or, you know, looking for fish, or maybe both. So I have to think that there has to be some reason for that. And it was amazing to watch them do this over and over and over again. And they just simply would engage in this behavior, wait until the wind died down, and then gently kind of fall back on the water. And I realized at that point that all of us have challenges that we have to deal with and are buffeted by certain winds or forces. And in this case, I'm speaking about, you know, winds in a figurative sense. But we all have those things that are buffeting us and causing us some difficulty. And it does take energy and effort for us to, quote unquote, stay in the game. In other words, to take, you know, maybe it's, you know, we're working and things are causing us difficulties in the work that we're doing. Maybe we're just trying to have some peace and quiet and be happy and do something that makes us happy. And there's challenges and things that we can't control. I realize the birds cannot control the winds at all. There are a lot of external forces that we can't control. And yet, it's so easy for me sometimes to get to a place where I feel like that, you know, I think it's just a matter of isolation. It's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we're the only ones who are struggling like this. And to watch this group of birds very systematically do what they need to do and engage in what sort of behavior they needed to engage in order to cope and remain where they were, because they obviously needed to be there for some reason. And yet I also realized that it took effort for them to cope. There was no, you know, going and laying on the grass and just waiting for the wind to die down. They did not abandon what it is they were trying to do. They just made an adjustment. And it really spoke to me a lot, because I realized that that's what we have to do in life. We don't have to do anything, but if we want to cope, if we want to stay in place and continue to do whatever it is that we're doing that's meaningful for us, that sometimes the only way to cope with that is just cope in a different way. And if we're feeling some pain from having to expend energy to do what we need to do, and it gets difficult or if not impossible for us to do what we need to do, then we do it in a different way, or at least do something productive or meaningful to allow us to cope until we can do whatever it is we need to do again. And I keep using the word cope because I feel like that's really the important thing here, is that the only thing that we can do, no matter how difficult it gets, is to try to cope. There really is no other way. There really is nothing else that is going to help us. There's certainly things we can do that are self-destructive and that will not help us. And I'm sure we've all at times, myself included, fallen into that trap. But in the end, at some point, we have to own up to the fact that there's a need, if we're going to move forward in any meaningful way, there's just a need for us to, there's a need for us to cope. And we all, I'm also realizing, you know, each one of the birds, and I was looking at them very carefully, each one had a subtly different way of hovering and flying and riding the waves in different ways. They all had different, they were all sort of doing the same thing. They were all making some sort of effort, but they were doing it in different ways. And it was just beautiful to see nature doing what it does. And it's becoming obvious to me now that much of what nature is about is coping. I mean, how many times have I said to someone else or heard someone say to me, I just don't know how much longer I can go on like this. What am I going to do? This is just not getting any better. What am I going to do? I'm getting tired of dealing with this. I'm getting tired of hanging in there. I don't want to hang in there anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this pain anymore. And yet, the only thing we really find that we can do that really makes any sense at all and really benefits us in any particular way is to cope. And it sounds so simple enough, and I don't want to sound trite, because that's not who I am. I'm not about that. But at the end of the day, nature demonstrated this right in front of me. And it's something that I, surely thought that I would have known before now. But yet, I'm seeing it in a different way because it was modeled for me. No one was trying to prove anything. No one, and when I say demonstrate, I'm not saying anybody was trying to show me anything. It just happened. The way that it went down today. That's the way that, you know, things happen. And it really, really affected me in a deep way. And I know for myself, I can be my own worst enemy, and I'm really good at it. I've got a lot of years of practice at doing it. It's what I call a lifestyle of misery. And I know now that, you know, if the birds can cope with what they're dealing with, they've got to stay in the game. If they want to eat and survive and continue to thrive in some way and continue their journey. They have to cope, and in order for them to continue to eat, they have to be near water. And sometimes the water is a little choppy, and it's a little bit difficult. So they've got to figure out some way to cope with that. Same thing with me. I have certainly made a mess of my life at various times, and am dealing with the karmic challenges of what I've set in motion as a result of previous decisions. But, you know, I guess I could opt out if I wanted of all this, but I don't know that it would really help much. And I think after a while I would start to feel like I'm not really being true to myself, and it just wouldn't feel good to opt out. And it wouldn't feel good to avoid the conflict and avoid the struggle. So I have to figure out a way to cope. That's really what it's all about. How do I do that? What do I do? How do I do it? How do I motivate myself or inspire myself to continue to do it day in and day out? Because that's ultimately what it's going to take, I think. And I don't have any answers. I certainly am not. This is really outside of my area of expertise. I'm not a motivational speaker or teacher. I don't know how to inspire people. All I know how to do is sit with things. And as an outgrowth of that, you know, sitting with things, it's also incumbent upon me to learn how to cope in some way. To cope mindfully, to embrace what's going on, where I'm at, that the waters are choppy. I can't control when they'll smooth out again. But my work is figuring out a way to cope. That's where it's at. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what it's all about. I've spent enough time in my life not doing it, so I want to try to figure out a way to do it, and then do it consistently, and then at some point try to improve that, to make it more effective, to cause myself less pain and difficulty, to enable myself to have more joy if it's possible, to have it mean more, to help others do it as well, if I can, if that's what they want, if I have the ability to do that. I don't know if I do or not. I can't make any assumptions on that. It's too early in the game to know, because I've spent so much of my life just trying to cope myself. I haven't necessarily always been available to be there for others to help them cope. I want to change that. I have to figure that out. But as they always say, one thing at a time. I've got to crawl before I walk. Baby steps. Baby steps. But I know what I need to be doing, and that's the most important thing. Really grateful for that today.